Yeah, I know. I want that dog. I wish I had that in my bank. So yeah, but so that was a rather long couple videos, but I wanted to set the stage because today we're going to be talking about how faith relates to the gospel. We've been talking this year about growing down into the grace of God, and the gospel is about a relationship. It's about a person. It's about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And so we started last week in the book of Romans, and we're going to be in the book of Romans today as well. The next couple weeks while I'm in Africa, Robert's going to be talking, going back to the talks about the Holy Spirit. So we'll have a little break from Romans, and we'll come back after that. You know, this word faith is a tough word in the English language because it can refer to a lot of things. So I typed in faith. I used to look in the dictionary, but now you can just go online and say, what is faith? And Merriam-Webster's website will give it to you. So Webster said this about faith. Here's the various definitions. Allegiance to duty or a person. Fidelity to one's promises. Sincerity of intentions. Belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. Firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Complete trust. Something that is believed, especially with strong conviction, without question. So there's a variety of definitions there. And often, sometimes faith is thought of as a quantity. You might say, what do I mean by that? Like people said, if only I had more faith, this or that would happen. Help me with my lack of faith. We can lose faith. So maybe you've heard someone say, I don't have faith in the government anymore. We can think that faith is a belief. So I was doing this study of the word faith. Does anyone know what the word faith is in Greek? Some more Greek scholars. Pistis, yes. So it's a word pistis, and here's what I found. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says this. So put on your thinking cap because it's a little bit dense, but I like what it brings to bear. So I'll try to read it slowly, kind of. So I always, you know, when I'm talking to the kids, I say, put your listening ears on, and they all go like this, right? It says this. Faith is thus made perfectly plain. It's made perfectly plain that faith is man's absolute committal to God, a committal in which man cannot make any resolutions of his own, which would be to remain in the sphere of works, but which can only be committal to God's grace, an answer to God's act. Okay, keep following with me. Faith is the manner of life of the man who is crucified with Christ, who can no longer live as an I, like a personal person, who lives in Christ. If one does not understand the paradox that faith as a movement of the will is the negation of the will itself, the antithesis of faith, which is works of the law, will easily be misunderstood, as though faith were another work of achievement. In truth, however, more than a measure of activity is presupposed in faith. Faith is act in the supreme sense. As such, it is the opposite of every work or achievement. Since the act of faith consists in the negation of all the work which establishes man's existence. And you say, oh, gosh, what does that mean? All right. I think of an analogy. Have you heard that analogy of the man that walked across Niagara Falls? You might have heard this story. There was this actual event that happened some years ago, probably in the early 1900s, I believe. There was a rope stretched across Niagara Falls, and this man came over from a country in Europe, and there was a huge crowd gathered, and he walked across the falls on the tightrope. And everyone cheered. Then he walked back. He did this several times. And then he grabbed a wheelbarrow full of rocks. And he rolled this wheelbarrow full of rocks across. And people cheered even more. He did this several times. And finally he asked the folks, who of you believes that I could bring a person across this span in the wheelbarrow? And everyone says, we believe, we believe. So he dumps out the rocks and he says, who's going to get in the wheelbarrow? And nobody took him up on his offer. So a lot of times we think faith is just belief. I believe that you can do that, right? I believe you can take that wheelbarrow across there with someone in it. But that is not faith. Faith is being willing to get in the wheelbarrow. It's a total commitment. Are you the one that has the skill to get across there? No, but there is an act of putting yourself wholly in the care of the person that's going across. So that is what faith is. It's a work of trust, but it's not a work of the law. You aren't the one with the skill to get across, but there is a choice to wholly place ourselves in God's care to say, you are the one who will save me, and I'm going to place my whole life in your care to trust that you are the one who is able to do that. I do not have the ability to save myself, okay? Sometimes people think faith is going to church, the good works you do. They confuse works and faith. And that's one thing Paul's going to address all throughout this book of Romans. So he's hitting it here early, this idea of faith. And we're going to look at that. So if I was to summarize Romans chapter 1, 8 through 15, and what it has to say about faith in particular, I would say this. Grow down in your understanding of how faith is related to the gospel of grace. Grow down in your understanding of how faith is related to the gospel of grace. And we're going to have Wilma Phelps. Do you have a mic, Wilma? Okay, Wilma Phelps is going to read for us now Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15 from the English Standard Version. So, Wilma.
I've got it. Okay. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at least succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome.
So as we're unpacking this passage about how faith is related to the gospel of grace, we see Paul talks about three aspects of faith here. In verse 8, you see he talks about faith as a testimony. Then in the second part, that faith is grown in community. And third, that faith is intentionally spread. So let's look at the first one. Faith is a testimony. So if you have your Bible still open, look at verse 8. Paul says this, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. So we see that Paul is saying that the Romans, the Christians in Rome, their faith or their trust in the gospel is a testimony to all the world. And a lot of letters, the Greek style of writing letters, you want to compliment the people. Right at the beginning, he doesn't know these folks and he's trying to build rapport, but he's not just flattering them. We've all experienced that flattering. When someone gives you a compliment, it's so effusive that you know it's not true. It might make you feel good, but it's not true. But this is actually true. Rome was the center of the world at that time. All roads lead to Rome. You might have heard that saying, and it was literally true. The many of the things all went through Rome. It was the New York City, the Washington, D.C., whatever, the capital of the world at that time, financially and politically in many ways. And so the Christians in Rome, what they were doing would have been heard by a lot of folks, how their faith is. Their faith is being an example, okay? Their faith was a testimony. And the relationship that faith has to the gospel of grace is the outward manifestation of what that gospel produces in a person, okay? So what you and I trust in affects who we are and how others observe us. Faith, contrary to what many secular Americans tend to think, faith is not a private affair that you just keep to yourself. It is a foundation on which the entire house is built. All right? And so faith will be displayed like Jesus talked about in Matthew 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you do these things I tell you, you will be like the man who built his house on the rock. When the wind and the rains came, like have been going on these past few days, the house stood and withstood the pressure. And then if you do not do these things, if you do not get in the wheelbarrow, as so to speak, your house will be like the man that built his house on the sand, and it fell with a great crash. So often our faith is on display. It is a witness not when things are going great, but actually when everything is falling apart around us, when trials and trouble and cancer and financial trouble, loss of job, what you name it, when those things happen to us, it tests the very foundation of what we stand on. The very same house could be built on sand and on rock. They would both look very great and very nice. How would you know which had the solid foundation? When the storm hits, right? So you may be going through tough times, or maybe you have gone through tough times. I don't know. Last week in our circle group, some folks shared about how their faith was strengthened through very, very difficult times. And it was a great testimony to the rest of us that God can be trusted, that he is faithful, right? So faith is a testimony. Your faith in that, the fact that God is the one who wheels you across those falls, is a testimony to others to trust in God. You can say all you want, I believe he can do it, but until you and I are willing to wholly give ourselves over to God and let him carry us, that is faith in the grace of God in the gospel. All right? Your faith is most observable when you're tested. So let's move on to the second point. Not only is faith a testimony, second, faith is grown in community. Faith is grown in community. Verses 9 through 13, Paul's saying there that he's talking about coming to them and how he wants to confer on them spiritual gifts. The word for spiritual gifts is charisma. What's the word for grace in Greek? Charis. Charisma is a gift that's given. It's a spiritual gift. We think of grace as unmerited favor, an unmerited gift. So give them spiritual charisma, spiritual gifts when he arrives. But then he goes on to say, it's not just going to be for your benefit. This is mutual. We are both going to grow and be strengthened through this. And I started thinking about this. How does this relate to faith and grace and all these things? In verse 12, he says that after he says these gifts, these grace gifts that he wants to give, that they may be mutually encouraged by each other. What is that faith in? What has he said earlier? The faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the word here used for spiritual gifts, here's how Theological Dictionary unpacks it. They have a great understanding here. So charisma denotes an embodiment of grace, a concrete expression of God's generous and powerful concern for his human creation, so that it can be used of any act or utterance which is a means of divine grace, a medium through which God's graciousness is experienced, whether the thought is of the totality of what God has given by means of Christ, or more often of particular ministries, occasional or regular. So what this means is that we experience God's grace as we relate to one another graciously. Think about that. We experience God's grace as we minister to one another. It's not just a one-way street, and it's happening. That is relates directly back to us talking in the last autumn or fall about growing down in the grace of belonging, right? So as we share about our faith with one another, it will cause us to grow in grace towards one. We will experience God's grace. The goal that Paul speaks of here is that it would strengthen them and bolster them. So the reason he wants to bless them with spiritual gifts is not so that he looks great. He's doing it so that they will be strengthened. So as we gather together, maybe a good attitude for us to all put on, maybe ask ourselves every Sunday or every time we're getting together with other believers is, Lord, how do you want me to bless others today, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to build them up in their faith? and maybe asking yourself, God, what do you want to build up in me? And you're looking to see, how are others going to minister to you today? Sometimes we either get one or the other going, but if we're going to be healthy, a healthy church, it's both and. You are blessing others, but you're also receiving. You don't have all the answers. You're not the only minister. It's the priesthood of believers that we have here. I like how Dunn says this idea in his Romans commentary. He says, this verse is not so much a correction as an elaboration or clarification of what charismatic ministry and community involve. That is, presumably talking together about what they believed, their understanding or lack of understanding of it, their convictions and questions, and how their faith worked out in daily life. Does this not sound a lot like circle group, maybe? I hope so. Or Sunday morning, we worship together, we praise God in song, we hear from His Word, we're challenged in our faith, and after that, we meet together to minister to one another in group, to talk, and like, hopefully the questions you're hearing from others, how do you work this out in the daily life? How do you do this, Matt, as a teacher? How do you do this, Andy, as an engineer? How do you do this, Wilma, in your life? You know, and you're learning from others. You're receiving great ministry from them. You're growing in your faith because you're seeing how does this work out in other people's lives. We grow in faith together, not so much by ourselves. There's elements of the spiritual disciplines we do by ourselves, but if we lack the community aspect, we are not going to be healthy believers. We need each other to grow. So not only in a community. Finally, faith is intentionally spread. Faith is intentionally spread. Verses 14 and 15. He says this, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And just to kind of unpack that a little bit, basically he's talking to Romans, not to Jews. If he was talking to Jews, he would have said, I'm under obligation to Jews and Gentiles. He doesn't say that. The primary makeup of this Roman church was Gentiles. Maybe there were some Jews in there. And the way the Gentiles would have thought of it is, we have us cultured Romans that speak Greek, and then there's those barbarians. And then there's the wise and the foolish. So basically, the gospel is for everybody, according to how you guys view everybody. And he's not becoming elitist, and he's not putting down either side. He's just saying, this is for everybody, no matter how you think of them. And he's saying, I am bound to do this. And I do it, does he say I do it with a lot of drudgery? How does he say that in verse 15? I am eager. How many of you are eager for Christmas gifts on Christmas morning? Were you eager for those? Yes. He has that kind of childlike glee to share the gospel. How does one get that? Often, messages on sharing the gospel, you might feel, maybe feel stoked or hopeful, but you do feel a little like, how am I going to do this? How's that going to work out? I know I need to speak the gospel more, like I need to eat broccoli more. You know, you know you got to do it. It's good for you, but you don't really savor it. You're not eager for that broccoli. Put cheese on it. Yeah, I'll be eager for it then. So, it's my hope that as we go through Romans, that we will become more and more convinced of the power of God's grace in our lives, and as naturally that will result in us wanting to share with others. Sort of like we are so saturated, like a sponge with it. We're so full of it. Just anyone that comes in contact with us is going to get it on them in a sense. It's not that I have to get out a tract and give it to them and memorize the four spiritual laws or whatever way to share it. God's grace is just coming out of me and my relationship with Him. And I'm pointing them to Jesus, not to a bunch of principles or religion. I'm saying, you got to know this God who became man, who is our intercessor, who has paved the way for us. And this is what He has done for me. So it's not necessarily about you having... it's good to have a plan. It's great to have ways to share this. But mostly Paul says here that it comes from his heart. He says, this is coming out of me. This is who I am. So we're talking this year about growing down into God's grace like a tree putting its root down. As we draw that up, what kind of fruit's going to come out? the gospel, the grace of God is going to come out of us. We won't have to work super hard. Does a tree have to work hard to make a fruit? No, it just makes it. So if you're seeing in your life that you're not regularly sharing the gospel, sometimes we see the fruit of people coming to the Lord, sometimes we don't. But am I regularly just sharing with others what God's doing in my life, how he has rescued me, how he saved me, and leaving the results up to him? We don't know what timing those folks were dealing with and whether they're going to respond. That is not so much your concern, but that you are just a light, that you are salt wherever you are. So my hope is you don't feel guilty today and that I slapped you around and told you to try harder. That's not what my goal is this day. But I'm saying you grow deeper, put your roots down, suck up that grace of God, get it in you, and it will change you. So as we end this portion of today's worship, I'm going to be playing a video by Third Day. And as you listen to this, I like this video because he talks about one of these days we're all going to stand and give an account for every word we say. And it kind of starts off, you go, oh man, I've said a lot of not great things. I've done a lot of not great things. But he says, the one thing I do is I trust in Jesus, my great deliverer. So he's coming back to that gospel that is saying, I get in the wheelbarrow. I'm not the one that can cross those falls, but I know one who can. And as we listen to that, I want you to ask yourself this question. Maybe, first of all, have I experienced God's grace for me? Maybe you're one of those people you say, like some of those people on that first video, maybe you're an atheist. Maybe you don't know if God exists. Maybe you come every Sunday like that one guy, and you're still not quite sure about God. This might be the day for you to say, God, I open myself up to you. I'm willing to get in the wheelbarrow to trust you. I want you to be my Savior. Romans 10, which you're in, Romans 10, 9 through 10 is a great verse. If you are wanting to share your faith, that's a good one to memorize because someone might say, how do I accept this? How do I do this? And it says this. For the scripture says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. It's not about all these works or cleaning your life up, getting your act together. The one work is to get in the wheelbarrow, to trust in him completely to save you. That's all that's necessary. And he will then begin to transform your life, but it's not your works that save you. The second question, maybe you've done that. You've gotten in the wheelbarrow. So I would ask you to ask, it's not a second question, it's several questions. Number one, is my faith a testimony to everyone around me? What kind of testimony is my faith these days? Second, am I being intentional to grow in my faith by being part of a church, by ministering to others and letting others minister to me, making that a priority in my life? And then finally, am I intentionally sharing my faith with those I come in contact with through both my life and my words? So am I so deep into God's grace and drawing that up that it just comes out of me? So those are some questions, and we'll explore those a little bit more in Circle Church afterwards. But Ethan, if you could play that video, and I just encourage us to prayerfully think about that and listen to the words of the song, and then I'll close this prayer.